Viewer voice messages, ladies and gentlemen, speakpipe.com. All right, we've got a ton of messages. Going to take a few videos to get through them all. So let's go ahead and start, shall we? The first one is Loopski. Loopski starting us off.
James Carmeta. What up, man?
What's up, brother?
It's your boy, Loopski.
Loopski.
Back at it again with another voicemail.
My fault.
This is right after the Falcons versus Saints game.
Yeah.
Atlanta Saints fan. And that was the most demoralizing game ever.
Yeah, it like, was.
Bro, we're cheeks, bro.
Yeah, I can't argue with you.
Like, we're dead ass. Like, we're butt.
Yeah.
And I don't even blame the quarterback. Like, the quarterback play was decent. Defense, they was decent. It's only one person we can blame right now.
Two.
And I think it's Kellen Moore.
Ooh, Blake Groupie's got to be number one on that particular game. Blake Groupie's got to be number one. But number two, close behind 1A, 1B, Kellen Moore.
Bro, we was at the red zone how many times? Bro, bringing Taysom Hill packages, running the ball three times. I haven't even seen Tyler Shuck throw the ball on at the red zone yet, bro. I don't even know if he's good at the red zone or not. Yeah, we haven't thrown the ball on the red zone yet, bro. Bro, Kellen Moore is cheeks, bro. Like, I'm trying to give him time, but right now, he got to – I don't know if he – just like Dan Campbell, if he just need to hire another play caller, but – him at play calling, bro, it's not it, bro. And it's not even the personnel. It's the plays that he's picking. It has nothing to do with the players.
A lot of what you're saying is you know, valid. I can't remember which video it was. I do so many every day. But, this, you know, I've been sitting back thinking about this whole thing. Today I was squatting, and when I was in the deep squat, you know, just sitting there, pausing with the weight on my shoulders. I was thinking, and before I, you know, braced my core and exploded up into the rep, I sat there and I thought, and I was like, man, this reminds me a lot of last year with Philadelphia, where Kellen, at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of moments where Kellen was kind of doing a little bit too much, getting a little too cute, trying to outsmart whoever, specifically with the tush push. I remember a few games there. I wonder if I can pull it up. Let's see. We're going to do this live. But I remember there was an Eagles game. I think it was a primetime game last year. I mean, again, this could show a totally different level of just my mind. But I'm pretty sure it was a primetime game that they lost. Let's see. It might have been, was it the Washington game? I don't think Kenny Pickett was starting. But it was one of these early games, and Kellen, it was like a red zone situation, and Kellen decided not to do the tush push in a spot where it's like, man, why did you not? You know, like, why did you not do the tush push there? And it took him a little while to kind of get to grips with it. It took them a little while to kind of get to grips with what this team does and what they just kind of how they operate, you know? And I think that's what's happening here. Once Kellen kind of realized, like, all right, I don't have to outsmart anything. I don't have to do anything crazy. I can just straight up do like the simple things. Maybe it was Atlanta. Let's see. Let's see a play by play here. Punt, downs. I mean, this is kind of, right, like third and four at the Atlanta 9. I remember this is Philadelphia. Third and four at the Atlanta 9. Jalen Hurts pass incomplete. Fourth and four at the Atlanta 9. Jalen Hurts pass incomplete. You know, like that's an example where it's like, okay, why are we doing that, right? So let's see. Where's this one? This isn't. But that it reminded me a lot of that, a whole lot of that. Third and three at the Atlanta 10, Jalen Hurts pass incomplete. You know? So I think Kellen did this a little bit in Philly, where it took him a second to get things together and took a second to realize, like, okay, I don't have to. I think I tweeted about it. I mean, look at it. Am I good or what? I mean, it's kind of crazy, the memory I've got here. I did tweet about it. September 22nd, 2024. So that would have been a week or the game after this game. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised myself here. So it would have been the Saints game. How crazy is that? Wow. What's going on here? Insane. Wow. Okay. So it was the Saints game in the Dome, the 15-12 game. I tweeted out live from the Superdome. Good example of Kellen Moore being hired after the tush-push philosophy was established. Before, Philly runs it no matter what. Now, if it's too obvious, Moore gets away from it. Exactly. Exactly. Right? And I think we're seeing some of that overthinking. And it's not the same exactly because of the tush-push thing. Let's see. So we've got an interception. We've got a fumble. No. Well, kind of, right? Fourth and one, Jalen Hurts pass short right. Right? Downs. Fourth and one, Saquon left end for no gain, but not a tush-push. Downs. Fourth and three, Jalen Hurts sacked. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the whole point isn't the tush-push because, like, you know, the Saints can't run the tush-push or whatever. The point is, I think Kellen inherently overthinks, and he inherently tries to be the smartest guy in the room at all times, and he tries to play 97D chess. And it might take a little bit for him to realize, like, I don't have to do that. You know, and I'm sure Nick Sirianni and whoever else said, like, hey, man, just run the damn tush-push. We have it. It's a guaranteed yard. It's a guaranteed 2 yards. Why are we throwing the ball in fourth and one? Why are we throwing the ball in third and three? Run the tush-push twice. You know, I think, and so we got to give him some time.
It has nothing to do with any of that. These guys are decent. Devin Neal, he played decent. He played nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Taysom Hill, old yeller. Get him out of here. He's old. Nasty. Bro. It's the coach, bro. It is coaching. Like, this is, there's nothing else but straight coaching. But yeah, bro. I'm depressed, man.
It's okay.
This is, I got all, everybody, like I said, I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan, so everybody's hitting me up. So confident. I was just so confident, bro, talking trash the whole week. My wife is over here staring at me, shaking her head, bro.
Like, you got to get out of the house.
We got in a couple arguments on the way.
Go to Hooters. Go do what you got to do. Just eat 40 wings by yourself. Don't say a word to anybody. Go to Chili's. 2 for 1 all the time. Just embarrass yourself. Triple dippers. I mean, you know, just tell them to keep them coming. Close down the place. I won't say a word.
Back home, bro. It's just crazy. I don't even know what to do, bro. I don't know. I think I might be done watching football this season. I'll just catch up with you at the draft, bro, or something. Like, I don't know, bro. I guess I'm about to watch college highlights of Chris Bell and what's that dude, the linebacker from Ohio.
Arvell Reese.
I don't even know, bro. I don't even know what to do, bro. Honestly, don't. But I just had to get that off my chest, bro. Like, Kellen Moore, bro. Right now, bro, he's Dookie. He's gonna have this.
I mean, Kellen. I know you watch the channel. I love you. I love you like a brother, Kellen. You know that. But listen, Lou Piskey is getting in his relationship. Did he say his wife or his girlfriend? I don't even remember. But his relationship is being affected by this team right now. Okay. Lou Piskey is living in the Heartbreak Hotel. All right.
Switch other play call. That play call is not it, bro. But yeah, I'm interested to hear your stance on it, because I know you was, you said if we lose this game, that it says a lot about
our
team.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
If we win it, then it's we in the right direction. But if we lose it, I'm just kind of curious how you feel now.
bad.
I've already seen the reaction, but
yeah.
But all right, man. God damn.
All right, brother. All right, man.
Be easy. Thanks for everything.
See you,
dude. I'm still staying tuned with the podcast, bro.
I appreciate that.
I'm not gonna stop watching
that.
You, bro. I'm still support.
I know. Come on.
My wife is laughing at the background. I'm still support, bro. I like your video.
Give her the phone. Let her talk to the face of the franchise. I want to hear what she has to say about this debacle and how it's completely breaking apart a beautiful loving marriage. That's what I want to know.
Videos, bro. I'm still buy some merch.
There you go.
Yeah. Be easy, bro.
See you, dude. I mean, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. What else needs to be said? Unbelievable. Unreal. I mean, my poor guy is watching Chris Bell highlights at Chili's because he got kicked out of the house. Jesus. Look, after the game, real quick, before we go to the next video, as I was walking back from the Dome, I was telling everybody, I was like, I'm about to go sit in front of camera in front of 10,000 people twice a day for the next however long, and I'm just going to eat a big bowl of garbage. I use the S word, right? Poo-poo-poo-poo. The poo-poo word. Big bowl of poo-poo. Because other Saints fans, they take the loss as depressing. They just go, you know, whatever. Go watch Dragon Ball Z or something. Rewatch the Boo Saga. Me? I gotta show this face on this camera multiple times a day in front of the universe after putting all my chips in the middle of the table. You know? So, not a fun week for me. All right? So, Triple Dipper, Chili's, do what you gotta do. Ruffle 'em. You're up next.
At some point, this...
I respect that. You get into the call, you don't say nothing. No hello, no, you know, no nothing. Just right into it. At some point, boom. He was ready. Hit record, no need for the pleasantry. The
team had more end zone trips than they actually had points offensively. The Atlanta Falcons had 9 penalties for 80-plus yards to our only 4 for 35-plus, and they still won the game. At some point, we had much more time in the second half compared to the Falcons.
Oh yeah, brother. In the second half, we go. We go 7:28 and 8:24, so 15:52. Quick math. 15 minutes and 52 seconds to 155 or to 209. You could, or 304 to 304 throughout the first four possessions. Okay. Like, think about that. And we had three, and we came up with 3 points, and they had a touchdown. They had 6 plays and 3 minutes of possession. 6 plays, 3 minutes of possession, got a touchdown. We had 30 plays for 15:52, and came out with 3 points. That's tough right there.
And they still came up with more points than we did.
Yeah.
That should tell you something.
It tells me a lot. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Kellen Moore needs to be fired after this year. I'm not saying any of that.
Yeah.
But this is inexcusable.
That's
you
true.
Came off of a bye week.
Yeah.
A bye week.
Oh, yeah.
Fully healthy, pretty much. And you lose this game at home. Embarrassing. It's pitiful.
I think Ruffalo said it best, where, like, look, I'm not saying Kellen Moore should be fired. I'm not saying it can't be fixed. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever, it's all doom and gloom. What I am saying is that it is inexcusable, and it does have to be fixed, okay? I'll use this Subway metaphor again. I've used this a couple times this week. If you are new at a job and you're working at Subway and you're, whatever, fifth, sixth day on the job, you mess up somebody's sandwich, it's like, all right, I mean, you know, he's been here for a week. Like, this is his first time working at a Subway, whatever. Like, okay. But it is inexcusable, and you do have to fix it. I'm not going to fire you because you gave somebody, you know, Italian urban cheese instead of, you know, whatever, honey wheat. But you can't be giving people the wrong order. And, you know, one time it is what it is. We'll laugh about it later on, but get it right. You know, as the great philosopher said, get it right, get it tight. You know what I mean? So fix it. Fix the issue. Fix the problem. Get your breads figured out. Okay? And that's where I'm at with Kellen. I'm not going to sit here and tell each and every one of you that, no, this is all good, this is great, this is no big deal. I'm also not going to tell you Kellen should be fired, right? But we absolutely have a right to say, this is not good enough. And so fix it. And so now we sit and wait and hope that he can fix it. Next up, Andy.
James, what's up, man?
What's
I'm
up,
sure
buddy?
You're probably going to be super sick of going through these by the end of the week.
I love it.
Yeah, man, just finished watching the...
I will tell you something that I could not bring myself to do yet was go through the comments on the video of the Falcon Saints recap. So I post the video. It's the thumbnail with me as a clown. I post the video and I check like a couple hours later, whatever. And it's got like 600 comments. And I usually reply to almost every comment. Not almost every, because there's 300 whatever plus comments a video. But a good majority of them. And I saw the 600 comments. And after that game and after just the despicable performance, I was like, I got to give myself a couple days. I got to give myself a couple days before I double back and answer or, you know, read these comments and respond to these comments. I can't jack up my mood for Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
Falcons game. You know, obviously a lot of frustrations. Try to never react emotionally, but I also feel like the time for that is slowly fading because nothing's making sense. You know, everyone was prepared for.
Well, at a certain point, it's not emotional, right? At a certain point, it's not. You're not reacting emotionally. To go back to what I just said 10 seconds ago about the Subway thing. If you freak out after the first time and say, your ass is fired, get the hell over to Burger King, fire him. You know, it's like, damn, brother, he messed up one sandwich. Like, that's a little crazy. Right? That response is a little nuts that you just freaked out and fired him because he messed up bread on one sandwich. He's been here for 5 days. Like, damn. But if he messes up a sandwich every single day for five straight days, on that fifth day, it's like, look, man, I'm not acting emotionally here, but damn. I mean, we only have six breads. You know, get them right. They're in front of you. You know, so at a certain point, it's not overreacting. It's not overly emotional. Right now, it would be. It's been 11 games. Okay, it's been 3 games with Tyler Shough. It's a rookie season. Right now, it's too emotional. But the building blocks, the dominoes, all that stuff, like that's kind of being made. And, you know, like we're kind of like, okay. Red flag number one, bad data point number one, whatever. Like, the flag has been planted. So,
you know, the bye and to have, you know, good, clear game plan, intention to take down a very struggling Falcons team. And, I mean, Blake Groupie can't kick anything to save his life. You have Kirko Chains with all day to throw. It feels like the Saints defense did not adapt at all. Like, they were getting so much pressure in the first half. And then bro just had all day to throw. He was just absolutely picking apart the defense. Just play action after play action after play action after play action. I mean, just nonstop. I feel like Shuck played okay, all things considered. I don't know why we can't adapt the offense to score points. I don't know. You know, this is an NFL team. I don't know. It's really just starting to feel like Kellen Moore isn't the offensive mind that we thought. I just don't know how he can't scheme people open. And obviously, I'm not a coach. I'm not an NFL. You know, whatever. I'm sitting here from my couch. But it's hard to see the team struggle so much offensively, especially when it feels like, you know, everybody, is it Rattler's fault? Is it Shuck's fault? Is it, you know, the whole looking for the boogeyman thing? It's like, man, what is going on?
You know what's kind of crazy about that? It's like, Kellen, he kind of is scheming people open. Like, when the offense is just kind of doing its normal thing, like in the middle of the field or whatever, like on those drives, like those 15-play drives, whatever, it's like, people are kind of open. Like, he is kind of scheming people open. Rattler played pretty well. Shuck is playing well currently. You know, everything was kind of chill. The run game's been horrible, but it's really more of like a philosophical thing. Like, when he gets in the red zone or when he gets kind of in these like really short yardage, like these really pressure packed situations, these like hard downs, as he calls it sometimes, it seems like that's where the trouble is. It's not really, it is at a certain point, because all those plays do add up a lot, like all those red zone plays, all those critical moments, whatever. But like, he has shown the Saints can move the ball. You know, he has shown, like, from the 20 to the 20, he can move the ball, they can pick up yardage, they can you know, do some things. It's just like when he turtles, and he turtles up philosophically, and that's when the Saints get in a lot of trouble. When he turtles up philosophically, then all of a sudden it's just like Taysom, quarterback powers, or like, you know, I'm trying to think. And, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not going to be able to know this, but like, has Tyler Shuck thrown a pass in the end zone? Like, has he actually thrown a ball that in the air went past the goal line into the end zone? I'm sure he has, but it can't be many. Right? Because a lot of the times Taysom has the ball down there. A lot of the times we're running it down there. I know the touchdown pass to Chris Olave against the Panthers, that was way away from the red zone where, you know, Olave just ends up getting there. But like, I'm trying to think of just like Devon Vele slant, Shuck throws it. You know, or just Juwan Johnson seam, Shuck throws it. Or I'm trying to think of how many times have we actually just like taken a shot into the end zone? You know, like that's, and I'd love to know the number. I would love to know the number of plays that we've had within like the 25, or even back it up, well, 25, like from the 25 in, and then how many times the ball has crossed the goal line in the air.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly where they go from here, or what needs to be done. Obviously, I mean, I think you have to give Kellen Moore, you know, this and next season,
yeah,
or at least the start of next season. But man, it's looking rough. I don't know how you can kind of rally behind. Like, it just feels like I'm not seeing growth. It doesn't feel like the team is actually improving at all, not even a little bit. Same thing with like Staley. Like, it feels like the Falcons adjusted. They made adjustments, and then they were, whether it was, you know, an additional blocker, more play action, whatever, and it was like, well, we got no pressure on Kirk at all.
I think the defense has been good. There's been some really bad moments, especially with the secondary, like in, you know, like when they're forced to cover somebody one-on-one or play man or whatever. They have gotten burned quite a few times, and I don't mean like burned as in like a deep ball, even though that did happen in this game, but even just like some plays, like the Giants game, like Theo Johnson just roasted Kool-Aid. You know, there's been moments like that. But overall, I think the defense has been really good. And there was a couple of big plays in this one. But for the most part, I mean, Bijan had a 32-yard reception, which was that screen on second and 24. He had a 32-yard run, okay? So I know people don't like when I do this, but it's like you take out the chunk plays. Bijan has 13 for 38, pretty good, and 1 for 5. You know, like, same with the Darnell Mooney thing. Like, Darnell Mooney has the 50-yard bomb, but if it's not for a 50-yard bomb, like, look at these passes, right? 49 yards, 32 yards, 23 yards, 18 yards. Kirk only had 199 yards, you know? So, like, this is, let's just say, so this is 50, 55, and then basically 50. So, like, 100 and, what did I say, 55? Like, 105 out of the or 104 out of the 199 yards are just three broken, like three chunk plays. A Kyle Pitts catch, a Bijan Robinson screen, and a Darnell Mooney deep ball for a touchdown. You know, like, this was all about, I mean, this was all about just those broken plays. But overall, I mean, they have played Bijan, Christian McCaffrey, Kenneth Walker, James Conner, like all these guys, and they've handled them pretty well. You know, they've kind of put the clamps on them. So I think the defense has been under, for how bad the Saints have been this year, it's hard for a really bad team to have a good defense because they're always on the field. You know, they're always playing at a disadvantage. But I think the Saints defense has been pretty good, especially with how bad they were last year.
I mean, he had it all day to throw. I mean, he's going to pick apart the defense. The defense isn't good to hold up that long. And it was just I don't know, man. It's frustrating. I can't imagine making videos on this all day. Like, I felt the same way that a lot of people did, that this game was so important for momentum and for the rest of the season. And
it was,
you know, for the draft and all this. If we can't beat a team like Atlanta in the position we were in, like, man, like, is it more, you know? I don't know, man.
He's got to answer some questions. No doubt about that. All right, next up, Podcast J.
Podcast J. You probably remember who this is.
What's up, man?
Just sit back and reminisce on who Podcast J is. It's you.
I remember Podcast J.
I am you. You are me.
Hold up.
It's November 24th, day after the game. It's Falcons game. 11:17 a.m. Got my 2 miles in. You know what I'm saying? Got out. Took a shower. Dropped a couple loads, started drinking my gallon for the day, gallon of water. And I'm just sitting here pondering. And
you say drop a couple loads? Is that what? It's all right.
I honestly feel good about the game. I understand. Okay, look. See, I slept on and I woke up. I was heated, of course. You know what I mean? I stay. I live in Atlanta, so you know what I'm saying?
You're going through it.
You know what I'm saying? Shuck played good.
Yeah, he was fine.
Hence. They had 2 first-round DNs. Kelvin Bates held his own. That nigga, he's an anchor. He's going to be good for a long time.
Kelvin Banks is good.
Sam Richardson, whatever, he got to go. Fool was out.
Yeah, he was struggling.
Fuaga, we going to be good. I guarantee you. That's where pressures were coming from, that right side of the line. I did evaluations. I went on to the little shit thing and was watching a little film on it.
There you go.
Ruiz got to go. We need.
Yeah, true. Look. No doubt, and we've known that, okay? Banks, Fuaga, McCoy, Eric, drink some milk. But when healthy, I feel good about that. Do we need a new left guard, new right guard? Absolutely. No, 100%. I'm with you there. But the 2 tackle spots, center when he's healthy, feel good about
it. Need a guard. McCoy get back, we're going to be smooth.
Yeah.
Shuck looked good. Now, let's not forget. Tip started. Devon Bailey, they're getting him more targets. We just need to get right a little bit. Brandon Cooks was gone, so really his main targets was Juwan and Olave.
Yeah.
Shuck played nice. Like, people this, that, or another. Alvin Kamara didn't come back second half. Now, at one point in the game, what it could have been like 19-16, the Blake Groupie made those field goals. Shuck got us down the field. Once again, we was in the red zone. At least he's getting us to the red zone. So I don't really feel too – I honestly feel good. I do not think we need no quarterback.
I agree because also, to go with what you're saying, I don't care if it's Tyler Shuck or Ty Simpson or Fernando Mendoza. If they get you to the 1 yard line and you get taken out for Taysom Hill, it's not on you, right? I don't care who it is. If it's Tom Brady back there, if you take him off the field when he gets you to the one and then now Taysom Hill is just going to do what he does. It is what it is. So, yeah, I'm fine with Tyler Shuck right now. And I'm not sweating, you know, trying to go get Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza or Ty Simpson or whoever you think is the top quarterback. But, I think Shuck has been fine through 3 starts.
Just being honest, I think we can build off Tyler Shuck. He's showing a lot of promise to me. But Groupie, on the other hand, I seen something about Justin Tucker supposed to be trying to come in. I think Tuck still got it. He just got to stay away from the massage parlors. And yeah, I mean, I think we'll be all right. Podcast Jay, once again, you know, you hear me. It's all great vibes. We appreciate you. Scrometaverse.
I appreciate you, man.
We love you. You're a breath of fresh air, my dog.
And thank you.
Continue to be blessed, Mr. Scrometa.
Great call. Podcast Jay lights it up again. Well done. Yeah, so we did not sign Justin Tucker. He worked out, but they decided to go in a different direction. That different direction is Cade York. So former LSU, former Bayou Bengal, Cade York is now kicking for the New Orleans Saints. Blake Groupie was released. Justin Tucker, they decided not to go in that direction, probably almost certainly because of PR reasons. And, you know, it is what it is. So there you go. But, yeah, Groupie, and look, I don't know him personally. Everyone that does know him personally, that has worked with him in the media, has said he lived and breathed the job. He loved the city. He loved the fans. And it is a business. You hate to see it happen to the good guys. You know what I mean? And from everything I heard, Blake Groupie was one of the good guys. So hate to see it. Absolutely. And that's probably why he got so long to try and figure it out. And it is a results-driven business. So he wasn't getting the results, and they had, I wish him success. I hope he figures it out and lands somewhere else for sure. But all right, let's do one more call for this video, and then we'll continue in another video. But let's go with Mark.
What's up, James?
What's
How's
up, Mark?
It going?
What's going on, man?
A couple of points I wanted to make here. Three main points. Okay. First point is, I'd like to just say a couple of positives, right? You know, because I know this was a bad game and it's really not good for us. But I guess the positive I would say, I thought the defense played really good, except for at the end there, you know, when they gave up those big plays and it really got out of hand. But I thought the defense played really good. So that's good.
That was by far the worst drive. I mean, I'm not, you know, you give up a second and 24, 30 yard screen to Bijan, and then you give up the bomb to Darnell Mooney. So you give up 81 yards in two plays, right? You give 81 yards up in two plays, and yeah, that'll beat you, right? That'll burn you. But beyond that, they were pretty solid. Now, you can't take them away, right? But beyond those two plays that just so happened to happen on the same drive, besides the two plays, I thought they were pretty good all day.
You know, the defense has played pretty good in the past couple of weeks. So, you know, maybe we have a good
all season, really, besides Chicago.
Also, you know, we're in a spot to score a lot of points, although we don't. So those positives. The second main point I wanted to say, now that we got a couple of positives out of the way.
So the second positive is true as well, where it's like there is something to the drives and being down on the one or the half-yard line or whatever. And I hate to even mention that because it's so just like, yeah, cool, but like we didn't score. We got 3 points. Like, what are we doing? You know? And I see both sides of it. There is at least something to, they can move the ball. Like they can move the ball, right? Now it's just scoring. Now it's just figuring out how to win. Now it's just all those other things. But there is a tiny, 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 tiny bit, of a silver lining that, you know, they are moving the ball down to the half yard line, down to the one multiple times. I mean, it's the smallest silver lining of all time, but
is, just talking about Kellen Moore. I know everybody's going for Kellen Moore, going for the guillotine, which is crazy, you know? But I do think there's a couple of critiques I would make, and they're not really crazy. I just think that I don't understand why, you know, Taysom's like, coming off of an ACL injury, you know what I mean? He's older. You know, I like to do it sometimes, the Taysom Hill plays, but it's too much and it's too obvious, especially when we have Devin Neal. I don't know why we won't give the ball to Devin Neal. Like, give it to Devin Neal. Also, to me, if we're going to give it to Taysom a lot, like, do it with different packages. Don't just have him snap the ball. Like,
yeah, I wonder how much got changed around with Alvin being out, because all of a sudden Taysom was taking carries at halfback and fullback. Like, you don't really see that much, you know? So it had to have changed the entire identity of this. And then the Taysom just getting the snap, Kellen's talked about this before. He is playing the numbers there. It is +1, right? You have one extra offensive player than you would if the quarterback is handing the ball off. But so I think that's why Taysom is doing that.
Like that, right? So that would be my main critique of this game for Kellen Moore is some of the play calling. You know, you said in your own video the call where he, you know, rolled out. I thought that was, you know, that's not a good play call. And then the third main point I wanted to say is that it is pretty crazy how, like, it feels like we kind of went from, like the fan base, a lot of people went from, like, oh, you know, put Chuck in there, get a spark, right? And then now that, like, that hasn't happened, everybody's going for, like, more, right? First it was, like, Rattler's head. And then it was, then Chuck didn't work out. And now it's, like, everybody's going straight for, like, well, it must be more. The coach is terrible, you know what I mean? Which is all, I think, pretty overblown. Because, like I said, I think the biggest positive out of this, as bad as it was, is that, like, all we had to do was just score touchdowns or kick field goals, and it would have been close.
Right. And that is it's a difficult puzzle, because on one hand, you absolutely can look at it and say, well, if we just score when we're on the 1.5 yard line, which isn't crazy, right? If we just score on those and make the field goals, you know, you're talking about 20 minus the 3 that we settled for. So you're talking about 17 points, you know? And but on the same token, it's like, well, you can't just get, you know, you did not make the field goals. You did not score. You can't just say, well, we should have 17 points. I mean, you know, ifs and nuts, right? So that's a tricky one. And that's something that I definitely thought about too, where it's like, man, this is like worst case scenario. You know, we just got shut out offensively, but we were as close as, literally as close as a team can be to not only winning this game, but scoring 27 points. You know, like it's a tricky balance to try and figure out what exactly is the issue. And I think the issue was just kind of play calling or a philosophy or whatever down there. And what was the genesis of that? Was it Alvin being hurt? Was it Kellen just kind of turtled up and the moment got too big for him, or he just kind of tried to outsmart himself, or I don't know. But it's unfortunate, because I wish I knew, like, the bizarro version of this, where I wish I knew what would have happened if we would have scored. Like, what happens if we do make those field goals? And what happens if we do score on the 1 yard line and the half yard line? Like, how does this look? How does the narrative change? What would it look like moving into the Dolphins game? You know, like, I have an idea in my head, and we talked about it all week long, of how important it was, you know, how important it was to win this game for the narrative and for the validation and the momentum and all that stuff. But, and unfortunately, we just don't know. You know, like, unfortunately, we'll just never know. But man, I mean, it was right there in front of us. I mean, 2 yards and a couple of field goals away from a completely different game, a completely different week, a completely different batch of videos.
You know, like, we moved the ball down the field so many times. What, like, I think there was like 3 or 4 red zone drives, right?
Three.
There were many. There were 2 big ones, right, that we could think of.
Yeah.
And so I guess in my head I'm thinking, if we can just fix that, if we can just score in the red zone, I mean, that fixes a lot of our problems, although Chuck didn't play as good as you would want him to see. But anyway, that's the main points I wanted to say. I wanted to hear your opinion on those. Love the show, man.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, it's like, we kind of do know the problem, right? Like, and that's the whole boogie thing I always talk about, where people are kind of searching for the answer to this puzzle. But I think the answer to the puzzle is just pretty obvious. It is the red zone situation. In this game specifically, it was the red zone situation mixed with the missed field goals. And if those get solved, no one's talking about the play calling. No one's talking about anything else, right? If we score, and that is, you know, I always use this example. It's not really pertinent in this situation, but if you're playing blackjack and you have 19 and you hit and you get a 2 and you get 21, that doesn't make it the right decision. Yeah, you won. Yeah, you got the 2. Yeah, you landed on 21, but it's still a horrible decision, right? So I don't like whenever decisions are like, if Taysom scores and, or, you know, twice and we make the field goals, is all of a sudden the play calling fine? Is all of a sudden the red zone issue solved? Because if that's the case, then it's more of just like what happened in this individual game. But because it's happened all year long, and because it happened in this game, and it's stylistically similar, I think it is part of the bigger issue, right? Like, even though I know if we score the Devon Vele rollout thing, and then he gets a good snap and scores, I still think there should be a conversation of like, well, why are we taking the ball out of Tyler Shuck's hand? Why are we always doing this Taysom stuff around the goal line? Like, there's got to be something better. Why aren't we just lining up and running Devin Neal? You know, like, what, he ran the ball down that entire drive. Like, you know, why are we doing this? But again, we'll never know. All right, there you go. Thank you very much, everyone that called. We're going to keep ripping through these. So keep calling if you want your voice to be heard. Thank you very much for watching. I will see you in the next video.